So, we decided to open this show with that Fatboy Slim song, Weapon of Choice, Walk Without Rhythm, because it's a Dune reference. Although, not everyone knows that, and I have argued with people about it as a misheard lyric. Anyway, we haven't done a show in a long time. I've done, I put out the Onifest podcast and part two of the Melzer interview. There's at least one or two more parts left of that. And our Christmas show, I accidentally recorded on the internal laptop speakers and then put a really heavy sound filter.
I didn't know that.
I told you about that.
No, I didn't know that at all.
I was like, that's why the levels were so bad. It was because...
the levels were really bad.
I didn't notice it wasn't coming from the mic. It was coming from the laptop speakers. And then I had to run, a sound filter to do it. Because we're looking at the show notes and not at the recording, so I didn't notice how awful it was. This time... we're recording on one of the two microphones we got for Christmas. This is the USB mic that Derek gave us. Thanks, Derek.
Thank you, Derek.
I wanted to try and record on two USB mics at once, but it turns out that's not exactly possible. We did, also for my parents, we got a mixer and an XLR mic.
Yeah, why aren't we using that?
Because it takes a long time to set up the mixer, which is ironic because it took a long time to set this up too. But I didn't want to get out the mixer. Basically, we're moving soon. Right now we live in Harlem, but we're moving to Park Slope.
Harlem, USA.
Racist.
We're
moving to Park Slope, where all the rich yuppie people live.
To Brooklyn, USA.
No, you gotta do a New York accent. Brooklyn, yo.
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, represent.
Moving to Brooklyn.
That's really bad.
You won't say that in a couple of months after you've listened to...
In other news, I finally remembered to sign up for free voicemail, and I posted about this on our LiveJournal site, so if you have us friended, you might have read it. And in fact, one person did call and leave us voicemail, and I'll play that right now, I guess.
I'm nervous. You don't actually...
Well,
you don't have to call.
No, shut up.
Oh, man, Ninja Consultant show rocks. I just wanted to tell you how your show rocks, and hurry up and do part two of Scott Melzer interview, and Noah's a God. See ya.
So, this guy, as we heard just now, he called Noah a God.
Now, wait. Now, I want to say, and this is a Ninja Consultant guarantee, I am not a God. I am just a man. I do all a man can do. Him what does more is none.
What? What's that from?
It's a Scottish play.
Oh, right. What?
Keep going.
Is there also a curse against that in podcasting?
I don't... maybe.
Okay. Anyway. All right. So, our voicemail number, if you do want to call and leave us voicemail, is 206-203-ARIN, E-R-I-N. But that letters are hard to spell on the phone, so 3746. 206-203-3746, and it'll be on the show notes and our website permanently and all that stuff. So, our most recent listener mail that we got was someone who just started listening and is a new fan, and I'm too lazy to look up their name right now, but they asked a very frequently asked question, which is, when we do the My Life in Fandom segments, and it has the, where are the Cheetos? Yes, that's from a skit that's from the Dead Alewives, who are a comedy troupe from Minnesota.
Yeah.
But they no longer exist, according to their webpage. But they did that and a couple other song things, but Where Are the Cheetos became very famous. I mean, that's not the name of the skit, but it became very famous when people did, little 3D animations to it, and it got passed around the internet 1,000 times until no one knew where the original source was from, only that it is part of internet lore and legend. I guess
right.
I should probably include a link to something like that. We could play it on our show, but it's really
long.
We're
not going to play the whole thing.
Can we play the song about your mama and the gaming thing?
Your mama, the Yo Mama rap?
Yeah, the Yo Mama rap.
Yeah, we could play that, but...
if they don't exist, can they still sue us?
Well, I don't think they'd sue us anyway.
But that might be cool, though, to get legal action from the Dead Alewives.
From the Dead Alewives?
Yeah.
The now dead Alewives?
Doubly dead.
Yeah.
Maybe. So maybe I'll play that at the end of the show. Last night, we, on a tip from another listener who is in, Alberta, wrote to us to say he's kind of a new anime fan in Canada. He really likes our show. He listened to all the shows in a couple of, in like 2 days without sleeping very much, and much to the annoyance of his teachers in high school. So yeah, props to that. But he recommended this show called
No props to that. Don't be ridiculous. What? You shouldn't listen to our show instead of doing other things, useful things, contributing to society.
If you went to a high school like mine, believe me, it doesn't matter.
Well, even so, I feel bad for that guy.
Why?
Because Ninja Consultant podcast should be listened to in moderation.
Yeah, well, if he listened to all of the Attack Generation shows at once, it would be like
He'd end up in the hospital.
Yeah, weeks later.
He'd be like that kid in Korea who died from playing 72 hours of World of Warcraft.
Or 128 hours or something. Yeah. So anyway, so on this listener's recommendation, we watched the first episode of a show called Suzuka, which is about a guy who... All right, first of all, so he falls for this girl who is a high jumper, and he's new to this high school, and he's gone to live in the dorm that his aunt is running, and that's where it starts to become a problem. Maybe our listener has never seen Love Hina, but Noah kept humming the theme song, and it was really annoying and distracting, because I... Like, I really want to watch a show that includes track and field, because I was in track in high school.
Uh-huh.
And I think high jumping is cool, even though I couldn't do it for shit. I can't even jump a hurdle. I was a long-distance runner. But the boy in the story lives in the dorm that his aunt owns, and it's an all-girls dorm. So the other boarders there are all girls. His little cousin who lives there, I think it's his cousin, I don't know. She really seems to like him, even though she's in junior high, just like What's-Her-Face and Love Hina. And then the high jump chick also lives there, and she has a misunderstanding when the boy falls on her when she's wearing a towel or whatever, so she thinks he's a pervert or something. But she kind of forgives him more quickly than Naru in Love Hina, because he helps her out with her high jump practice the next morning. I think it has some promise if you ignore the Love Hina aspects, but Noah is not going to watch it with me unless it turns into a good show.
It has, well, that's the case for just about every show.
That's the case for many shows.
But it's Love Hina meets track and field, and Aaron happens to want to watch the track and field parts of this, so I'd say it has no promise. Based on the first episode, it has no promise unless you like Love Hina or like track and field.
Well, I know.
Sharon does.
I watched the first 8 episodes of Love Hina, and I don't know why people like it so much. I mean, I guess if you like harem anime, it's fine, but Noah thinks Love Hina is a parody of harem anime, and it's not. It's just like the prototypical harem anime.
I believe I called it a parody of itself. It doesn't exactly mean that I think it is a parody anime.
Then why did we have a big argument about it? I guess you didn't make that clear at the time.
Well, I guess you didn't give me the option before putting that in the show notes, that I don't know what I'm talking about, which, even though it may be true,
What show notes did that go? I don't even remember what you're talking about.
No, you never do. You never remember anything. That's not the point. The point here is that Love Hina has essentially the same plot episode to episode over and over, where there are different elements that go into every show. They always end up in the hot tub. What's his face? What's the kid's name?
Kintaro
ends up falling on someone awkwardly and being knocked into orbit, and I guess you enjoy that sort of thing every show, then I guess Love Hina is the show for you.
Well, you're supposed to, first of all, you're supposed to pick the girl that you like the best, and then you have to pick the girl you think that Kintaro should end up with, and then there's some kind of tension based on that as you watch.
But right.
That doesn't really work for me, especially it doesn't work for Noah. He doesn't like any of the girls on the show.
Yeah, I think that they're all vicious and sadistic, and none of them is very nice, but I think he actually makes the worst choice. I think Naru is clearly the one who is most neurotic and has the least to offer him, and so watching him pursue her, or try to pursue her in a very kind of retarded way, it's not enjoyable for me.
All right, so I didn't finish watching the show, but I did read, like, 12 volumes of the manga before I kind of gave up. Because, I don't know, it started to repeat itself. I've also heard the show, and the manga don't end with a conclusion. Instead, the author posted on his blog an ending to the story, which is totally cheap. Like, what, you couldn't freaking draw it in maybe, like, a one-shot volume or an OVA? There are, like, 9 Love Hina OVAs. That's one of the main questions on the Answer Man column of Anime News Network. One of the frequently asked questions is there any more Love Hina? No. Also, is there going to be any more Love Hina? Is another one. It's like, no, there's not. There's, like, what, 14 or 15 volumes of manga, a bunch of episodes of the TV show, a bunch of OVAs. No, there's no more Love Hina. No. The creator ended it on his blog. That's it. You're done. The next one that people ask a lot about is there any more Berserk? But I think Berserk came to a... We watched it over Christmas. I think it came to a very final conclusion.
Yeah, doesn't get more final than that.
I mean, I know the manga keeps going, but I think the anime ends in a very definitive way. Just like people also ask if there's going to be more Fruits Basket anime, but I'm very happy with the ending of the Fruits Basket anime. I know the manga keeps going, but I think the anime reaches a definite conclusion. It's not like other shows. Or people ask if there's going to be more Hellsing, and it got to be a really annoying thing, but now there is going to be more Hellsing.
The answer is yes.
After several years of saying no, 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 yes.
Yeah.
Yes, there is. But I'm kind of disappointed to hear that the Hellsing OVA is going to be like a remake of the first part of the show, which was not the interesting
part. Unnecessary.
No good. Oh, the other thing I rented after a long time in my rental queue was Doki Doki School Hours, because I heard it was kind of a cheap Azumanga-dai ripoff. Yeah, it kind of is. It's about...
Yeah, it totally is.
There's a really short... Instead of Chiyo-chan, there's a really short teacher who's 27, but she's, like, 4'5" or something, and in this country, that would make you a midget. In Japan, that makes you adorable.
Yeah.
Because she also has the body of a little girl. It's not like she has, you know, freakishly short limbs or anything like that. Yeah, she's cute, and she's teaching a class of weirdos of various stereotypes, like the jock guy, the manga writing guy, the gay guy, the lesbian. Those are pretty good stereotypes, actually. The manga guy is very vain, which is pretty good, because he's not just some dork. He's like, I know I can draw. I really do like the joke where the teacher comes up to him and is like, about this drawing on the back of your test, and you think he's going to get in trouble or something, and she's like, could you draw the next page? Because I want to know what happens in this story. I think that's really cute.
Yeah, that was a good joke. But it's strange from the first episode, and of course, I guess it's too early to judge based on the first episode. Oh, Erin's making a face because she knows that within the first 5 seconds, I have already decided whether something is worthwhile or not. And that is true.
It works for people.
But, what? Huh? Yes, it works for people.
Well, the first impression that you make a judgment about someone in the first 3 seconds of meeting them. Apparently, you make a judgment on web pages in the first,
half
a second.
In the first 3 seconds of meeting me, what was your impression?
What a fucking nerd.
That's not true.
It kind of is.
Well.
I was like, look at that nerd, and then I thought how skinny you were.
See, this is appropriate. No, I remember very well.
Okay.
This is appropriate because it's actually our...
Well, I didn't think it's our 4-year anniversary.
48-year anniversary.
We're actually 97 years old.
I'm actually 103.
Uh-huh.
No.
Vampires.
Erin thought, what a giant asshole.
Well, I didn't think that in the first impression. I thought that when I was talking about a film class I had taken at the University of Michigan and how great it was, and it was the history of world cinema, and Noah made a noise like that and was like, what could you possibly learn about world cinema?
What could you possibly learn about world cinema in one class?
But I believe when I listed the films that we watched in the class, you were like, oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it was a decent sampling.
But it was a really good professor, and after the rest of my film education at NYU, that one U of M class still stands out as a really good cinema class. Like, I did learn a bunch of film production at NYU, but I didn't take a lot of cinema studies courses because I was not a cinema studies major. Now, and Noah took all of the really hardcore cinema study classes at Columbia because they didn't have as many production classes.
They didn't have any production classes.
I thought they had one.
No, I...
You made that up?
Made that up. No, it was a video lab that was, I think it was required. It wasn't production, it was poor excuse for production. That's not really relevant right now, the point is...
It's our 4-year anniversary.
Oh, was that the point?
Yes.
Hooray!
Yay!
4-year anniversary. No, the point is, I'm not a giant asshole. So, the first 3 seconds... Wait. Oh, crap.
I'm kind of a jerk.
All right, so just like people, you can tell about anime in the first 5 seconds.
You can tell a lot about anime in 5 seconds. But you don't necessarily know if the show's going to end poorly or end well, or if some shows turn into a good show on the second disc. Other shows turn into what Noah would call a river of shit by the second disc.
I would call... Right. Okay, well, I'll put something about the river of shit in the show notes.
But there is a second disc rule. So, moving on.
No. I still have a point to make about Doki Doki School Hours, which is that it really, it seems, based on the one episode that we've watched, it relishes its own genericness, which is very strange.
It's not that generic, though. It's kind of got a very flat design with very simple characters, but how is it generic?
It's generic.
Name six other shows that look like that.
I don't...
Because when you can, then you know a show is generic. All I can think of is Azumanga Daioh. I say no, it's making a wind noise.
It's generic because the characters themselves are very shallow.
I think you have a different definition of generic than I do.
That might be true, but my definition is correct. Now, if you will allow me to continue...
I have to make a list of Noah vocab words because I realized it's hard to understand Noah unless you've hung out with him long enough that you... know his definitions to his own vocabulary words.
My definitions are correct. Look, in Doki Doki School Hours, they make a big point, and it is okay, the first disc where they are introducing characters, so perhaps this is not as bad as I make it out to be. However,
it's hard to say. A lot of shows will have a very different pilot episode than the rest of the show. It's hard to say where a show is going from the first episode. A lot of anime doesn't even... They don't even introduce all their characters until the fourth episode, although this one has really laid out all of the characters.
What? Can I finish?
No.
Can I finish?
No.
Can I finish? All right. Usually you would introduce characters by what they do in a story, not by someone saying, this is so-and-so, he's really vain. I mean, you can do that, but it's not very effective. Because, as they tell you in any writing course, you should show, not tell.
Although in manga, if you're reading a manga serialization, in the first chapter of the manga magazine you're reading, like, it gives you one chapter per magazine. And at the beginning of that chapter, in case you haven't read other issues of the magazine, it gives you a character breakdown with a picture of each character's face, a little bit about what they're like and what the situation is they're in. Also, in the back of manga, like the actual graphic novels or the tankobon, in the back of that, sometimes, especially in Bleach, I read four volumes of that, you get the character breakdown. I think anime fans like to give character stats. This is the character's blood type. This is their astrological sign. This is how tall they are. These are their likes and dislikes, and this is their favorite food. And that comes from an otaku culture of keeping statistics about pop idols, who are, you know, like pop idols. And they just give the most inane interviews possible in Japanese magazines. But otaku hoard the data. They want to know how tall so-and-so is and what her favorite food is. And that I can't imagine the kind of... Well, it's not like our culture isn't so inane in their interviews where it's like, plug your latest film. And they're like, okay, it's great. This is my film. They're not going to ask a personal question. You know, if it's Tom Cruise, they're like, so how'd that divorce thing go? No, they're not allowed to ask that.
They do.
They do. But he's like, I'm not going to answer you.
Yeah, nobody answers that. They tend not to, I think.
Yeah, but I think Japan takes that inanity to another level.
So, in Doki Doki School Hours,
They give you a little character introduction, and then they give a shot of that character's face, and they say, so-and-so, very vain, likes this. They give you a character breakdown. But they kind of go through some of the characters twice, which is weird.
Well, I don't know what to say about that. But each character seems to be about as thin as you can get a character description to be. And then they proceed to act exactly as described through the rest of the episode. Now, what's nice, I guess, what's good about any story, but what's good specifically about Azumanga Daioh, is that all of those characters are really well fleshed out. And I would go so far as to say, even though I don't really remember it very well, even in the first episode, you can see that they are full characters and might as well be real people.
Well, they had a little bit more detail to their personalities. Like, in Doki Doki School Hours, it's more kind of a generic personality trait and not anything really creative. Like, in Azumanga Daioh, you have Miss Sakaki, who... She's an interesting character. She's not like other anime characters. All right, then I'm going to move on.
Move on.
So, this guy named Jack has offered to be our web designer, so that's super cool.
And
that is
super cool.
I would like to thank Jack if he's listening. Hooray, we're going to have a new web design soon. I'm That's how I know.
By which we mean we are going to have a web design.
Yeah, not just my not my bare bones HTML that I wrote in text editor.
Yeah.
So hooray, thanks Jack. I'm looking forward to it, as they say at the end of anime. And also this guy, Zach, who is Soggy Toast on LiveJournal, is drawing wonderful designs of me and Noah as ninjas. He's drawing the avatars for our site. He's drawn mine, and it looks really good. So
yeah, it's very impressive.
He also requested that our show be longer, and I'm like, no.
You don't really want that.
No, no. But it's because he listens to podcasts while he draws stuff. So, anyway. We met the weekly anime review guy over the Christmas break. We hung out in Ann Arbor and talked to him for a long time. So he recorded us. I don't know, maybe he'll eventually play the interview stuff, but he's been playing those bumpers that we recorded. He was really cool. We met him and his wife.
Yeah, we ended up talking to them for a really long time.
4 hours.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was great. But then we missed OhioCon, so we didn't see him there. But we did get to meet him while we were in Michigan, so I'm glad about that.
Hey kids, do you like Japanese animation but have a hard time figuring out what to watch? Then you need to listen to the weekly anime review podcast, where we talk about giant robots.
Power! Blazing sword!
Magical girls. And other weird Japanese cartoons.
Curse those evil octopi.
So head over to www.weeklyanimereview.com or look for us in your favorite podcast directory. The Weekly Anime Review Podcast. Anime reviews for your ears.
Also, I've been listening to other new anime podcasts, some of which I didn't know existed before, and others that just started. Like, the Anime Pulse show is done by Ichigo and Bato.
Which Aaron wrote down initially as Anime Pus. That's disgusting.
That's Noah's own show.
It's not my own show.
Anime
Pus. You take that back.
He's like, all of these shows are pus. And then he lists all the shows he hates, which are all of them. So, Ichigo and Bato are kind of easygoing on shows. Like, I think they like more things than me and Noah like, although I like a lot of things. I think they're pretty kind in their reviews, but that's not always bad. I mean, no one's paying them, so it's not like they're shysters or something. They live in Colorado in Boulder, and Noah is from Denver, where he had an anime club there, so I asked in their forums if they knew people from his old anime club, and they did not. Because although they're probably the same, close to the same age as us, and Noah was really young when he was in that club.
Yeah.
So it was many, many years ago.
Yeah.
Also, I've been listening a lot to the AY podcast, which is done by Red and Dre, who are a lot younger than me. It turns out Dre is 17, and Red is a bit older than that. But their show is really good. A couple of their early reviews, they haven't quite got the sound quality down right, but their reviews are really well researched. They give a lot of strange facts about shows, and they do start off telling you things that you really should watch, like Eva and Golden Boy, and then they talk about more obscure stuff, like Cat Soup and some things I hadn't heard of. And then later, their best shows, they interview some fan sub groups. So it's really interesting to hear from fan subbers and what they have to say. Mm. So I'm going to play their promo, and it's really funny. They have a couple other promos they've given me as well. Their website is really good, too.
Anime Yume Podcast.
Listen to it.
Listen to it. Anime, news, reviews, interviews, insightful information.
Useless junk.
Useless junk.
Prizes.
No, that's too much of a bribe, though. I don't want to say that.
I don't care. Giveaways. Come to us. We'll give you stuff. We'll give you a cookie.
That's bottom line. AY Podcast will give you a cookie.
What if they don't like cookies?
Oh, shut up. Visit us at animeyume.org. AnimeYume.org.
AnimeYume.something. Whatever. All right. We also listened to some kind of Ecuadorian comic book podcast called Los Comic Geekos, which is very funny to say. Noah speaks some Spanish.
Sure, I do.
He speaks more than he claims to and less than I claim he does. But it's very funny to listen to because they have a spoiler warning, but it's in English, where they're like, spoilers.
Yeah, that's how they dealt with it. And initially I thought that was pretty good, that they'd have an alarm that goes off, except, of course, everything they talk about involves spoilers.
Yeah.
So the damn alarm is going off all the time.
Spoilers.
So much so that
spoilers.
clearly the hosts of that show were tired of hearing it.
Maybe. Well, they're not listening to that while they record it necessarily.
They were, because they talked about hitting the button each time.
Oh, okay. So. It's, it's like a real radio show or something. But they talked about Blade of the Immortal, and it was pretty funny to listen to the plot of Blade of the Immortal being said in Spanish. Now, our podcast, Ninja Consultant, is listed in Podcast Alley. I'm not going to, like, beg for votes, but if you like voting on things and reviewing things, or I'm just saying. Also, I did read, now iTunes in the store has, like, a review feature, which is very nice. So, 3 people reviewed our podcast and were super nice about it. Thank you. Hooray. I think I know who a couple of them are because they were, like, people who sent us fan mail very early on. So all of the reviews are really favorable. Someone else wrote us a review on Podcast Pickle that was very brief, but they were like, your show's awesome. Thank you. I think that's pretty much everything I want to talk about. I want to play the song that I love the most from the best soundtrack to Standalone Complex, which is the second one, called Be Human, where more than half the tracks are super great. I don't know, the first Standalone Complex soundtrack, I like half of the songs, but they're not as good as the Be Human song. So, actually, the song that I like the best is the Tachikoma theme from Tachikoma Days, which is at the end of each episode of Standalone Complex. Oh, I'm kind of annoyed that I found out there are all these opening themes to the first season of Standalone Complex, which I have not seen at all because we were watching the dub. So I'm like, oh, well, maybe it's like Fullmetal Alchemist and the original Japanese openings are on the DVDs. So I went through and checked every DVD of Standalone Complex, and the theme song is the same one. The really, really good one, but it's the same theme song on all the discs. So now I'm annoyed because I'm going to have to spend several gigs download it just so I can watch the alternate openings, which I would really like to see.
That is fairly annoying, although I got really mad when they changed the original Fullmetal Alchemist opening theme, which I bet a lot of people haven't seen because the one that Cartoon Network got the rights to is my least favorite one.
Well, a lot of times it's the first one that you like the best, unless it's Naruto. Their first opening theme sucked.
Oh man, it's really not good.
Naruto then has an opening theme, a couple opening themes later that I really like, and then it starts to go back into not liking quite as much. But usually it's the first show, the first theme song of a show that you like the most. If you're a noob, I guess you might not know that anime tends to change its theme. Anime shows often change their theme songs in the second season, which is usually after about 13 episodes. And every season that they have, they'll often have a different opening. And the reason the openings are better animated than the rest of the show is because they spend a gigantic amount of their budget on the opening, and they'll often not do it at the same animation house as the primary animation is being done because it's so time-consuming. So the budget for an opening of a show might be like the cost, equal to the cost of 2 shows. And that's why they always look better, they're fully animated, they're really well put together. That's why opening footage is best.
True.
A lot of people don't necessarily know that. Now, if you watch things only on television, on American television, you don't even know that the theme songs change or what the original theme songs are. That's all I got. Do you want to say anything?
Yeah, I've got lots to say. Unfortunately, we're out of time.
Yeah.
What with this being...
over.
I thought that this was going to be a 5-minute show where we said we were really sorry for not getting out more shows because we were moving.
Well, when you say it's a 5-minute show, it's going to be a 25-minute show.
It's going to be a 30-minute show.
You have to times it by 5. Well, when I edit it down, it'll be...
What do you mean? I've got to times it by 5.
Times anything I say by 5.
That's a good rule, actually.
The rule of 5s.
I'm going to kill you.
What? Wait, what's the real rule of fives? I forgot.
There's no rule of fives.
Yes, there is.
There's not.
Yeah, there is. I just don't know what it is.
Rule of fives.
The rule of fives. Okay, we're done.
I saw your mama wearing a rug, spending all of her quarters cold playing Dig Dug.
That's a pretty cool rhyme, but your mama plays Burger Time, eating up the pickles with a little squeeze of lime.
Defender, mind bender, return to sender. I might date your mama, but I don't know her gender.
How come I saw your mama's ugly face, sitting on a stool, playing Space Ace?
Your mama is whack, man, always playing Pac-Man. I tried to pick her up, and I threw out my back, man.
Isn't that your mama playing Terminator 2, with her liquid metal booty all oozing that goo?
Here goes your mama playing Afterburner, jiggling the joystick like it's a butter churner.
You better get your mama, man, she's playing pinball, begging for change with Shelley Duvall.
Your mommy gets none when she's playing Outrun. She's kinda like a steak, cause she's always getting done. Rare, yeah, over there, she played elevator action and they made her take the stairs.
That's a clever endeavor, but watch me pull the lever. Your mama auditioned for Batman Forever. She's Robin, head bobbing, I left her there sobbing in a field of dreams. Completely corn cobbing, Kate Crusader, breathing like Darth Vader. Burt Reynolds from Gator still playing Space Invaders.
Your mom looks like McCartney, singing Hey Jude, pairing up with Keanu and playing bad dudes. Street Fighter Knight Rider David Hasselhoff, she gave me an exam and told me to cough. I saw her on her knees in your daddy's DVDs, begging for smack in the back of Chuck E. Cheese.
Man, pick up your mama, she's making me sick, sucking up crack like it's Nestle's Quick.
Aw, speaking of cracked, your mom's in Little Rock, hanging with Bill Clinton and New Kids on the Block. She gets more action in one night than Mata Hari. But dude, tell your mama to stop playing that Atari.
I must be the man, cause I know your mama's Chico. She got all happy cause she bought a Coleco. Sitting in a basement, playing River Raid, taping old episodes of We Got It Made.
Your daddy's finger licking, but your mama's shaking bake. Plus I heard she directed episodes of Give Me a Break. Trying to barter her garters for Nell Carter. I hear she met Bruce Willis and she made him die harder. She loved Hudson Hawk, but she left him for another. Hitting Demi Moore with her head like Mario Brothers. Following me around like Barker follows Clive. She plays Operation Wolf and she watches Almost Live.
Hey everybody, welcome to Dragon Radio. I'm Tony Reno, your host, and every week I guide you through best Asian pop, rock, and hip-hop music. All Asian, all music, no English. Except for me, of course. I'm an American living in Hong Kong. I hope you'll join me and listen to the podcast, dragonradio.hk. You can subscribe with any reader, or listen to the live stream, live.dragonradio.hk. And of course, keep on listening to the Ninja Consultant. I wonder if they do taxes.